This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Can we hold the Mus'haf in our hands when we pray Qiyamul Layl? Can we read from the Mus'haf our Taraweeh?
وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِن قَبْلِكَ إِلَّا رِجَالًا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِمْ فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ
The answer to this question, realize we're talking about the nafil salas, not the fard. The taraweeh prayer is a nafil or sunnah, it is not fard because obligatory is something else. The answer to this question, it is actually very clear to the majority of scholars. In Sahih Bukhari, we have a hadith or an athar of Aisha radiallahu anha, that Aisha would command her freed slave Dhakwan to lead them in salah. And Dhakwan, because he was not a hafidh, he would recite from the Mus'haf. And this is in Sahih Bukhari. وَكَانَ يَقْرَأُ مِنَ الْمُصْحَفِ He would recite from the Mus'haf. And this is very explicit, very clear. And this is something that is you cannot get more explicit. And it is in Sahih Bukhari, even though it's in mu'allaf form, but it is Hasan Hadith. And that is that Aisha radiallahu anha commanded her mawla, Dhakwan, during the nights of Ramadan to lead them in salah. This is after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Aisha would not go to pray in the masjid, she would pray in her house. And she had a freed slave, a servant, who would lead them in salah. But he had not memorized the Quran, so he would read from the Mus'haf. And this is something very explicit. The famous scholar Ibn Shihab al-Zuhri, and al-Zuhri died 129 Hijrah, and he is one of the greatest, if not the greatest scholars of the Tabi'un. Taba Tabi'un is really his main generation. One of the greatest ulama of Islam, al-Zuhri. And al-Zuhri was asked about a man who recites from the Mus'haf during Ramadan. And al-Zuhri, who met some of the students and the sons of the Sahaba. Az-Zuhri met some of the main sons of the Sahaba. Az-Zuhri said, كَانَ خِيَارُنَا يَقْرَؤُونَ فِي الْمُصْحَفِ The best amongst us, I remember them, they would read from the Mus'haf. This is Az-Zuhri saying this. So it was a well-known, accepted habit that during the nights of Ramadan, when people would lead them in salah, they would hold the Mus'haf. And in the Mudawwana of Sahnoon, which is one of the earliest books of Maliki Fiqh, and the one who wrote it is a student of Imam Malik, and he said that I asked Imam Malik about this issue. Imam Malik said, so Imam Malik, and again, he is a person who is living in Medina, two generations after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Imam Malik said, there is no harm in carrying the Mus'haf for the Imam in Ramadan for the Nafil prayer, meaning for the Tahajjud, because Tahajjud is Nafil, yani Qiyam. Meaning a nafil here is that not the fard prayer, so not for Isha. There is no harm for the imam to carry the mus'haf, you know, in the nights of Taraweeh, basically. This is Imam Malik explicitly saying, and that's the standard Maliki madhab. And Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal was asked about this, and he said, لَا بَأْسَ أَن يُصَلِّيَ بِالنَّاسِ الْقِيَامِ وَهُوَ يَنْظُرُ فِي الْمُصْحَفِ There is no harm, there's no problem at all. It's not even makruh, nothing. No problem for the imam to carry the mus'haf and he is leading the people in salah and he is looking at the mus'haf. Again, this is for the taraweeh prayer. Again, we're not talking about the fard prayer. And Imam al-Nawawi in his majmu'. So we talked about the Maliki madhab, Imam Malik is explicit. We talked about the Hanbali madhab, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is explicit. And the greatest scholar of the Shafi'i madhab in the medieval times is Imam al-Nawawi. Imam al-Nawawi in his majmu', he says that if he leads from the Qur'an, from the mus'haf, and he recites the Qur'an from the mus'haf, regardless of whether he is a hafidh or not, it does not matter, and the salah is valid and correct. So, he said that the salah is going to be valid if the person leads from the mus'haf, there's no problem here. So, this is the Shafi'i school, the Maliki school, and the Hanbali school, three of them. And I also quoted you Aisha, our mother radiallahu anha, way before any of these imams. And I quoted you Ibn Shahab al-Zuhri, who was a well-traveled scholar. He had lived in Medina, he lived in Damascus, he met the sons of the Sahaba, and he said, we all used to do this, but the greatest people I met, they would do this. So it is something that the majority of the ummah has accepted. Obviously, I have left one school, and that is the school that is the strictest in this regard, and we respect all of the schools, no problem with that. But you should be aware that these schools exist and they have their differences. And of course, the school that is left is the one school that is the strictest in this regard, and that is the Hanafi school. And the Hanafi school, generally speaking, they were reluctant to open this door. Imam al-Kasani, in his famous book, Bada'i'u al-Sana'i'. And by the way, I have to say this, just Bada'i'u al-Sana'i'. Imam al-Kasani died 587, I want to say, 587 Hijrah. And Imam al-Kasani was a great student of Imam al-Samarqandi. Imam al-Samarqandi had written a book of Hanafi fiqh. And Imam al-Kasani was his student. And so Imam al-Kasani, he wrote what is considered to be one of the greatest classics of the Hanafi school, called Bada'i' al-Sana'i', and he presented it to his teacher as a commentary to the book that his teacher, Samarqandi, had written. And this teacher was so impressed with the book. Subhanallah, this became a joke for later Hanafis, and it's a true story. He said, this book, I will consider it to be the mahar for my daughter's hand in marriage. And he gave his daughter in marriage to his main student, and he said, the mahar of the marriage is going to be this book, subhanAllah. So the book, Bada'i al-Sana'i, became the mahar for the marriage of Imam al-Kasani, subhanAllah. Those were different types of mahar. I don't know if any of our current sisters would accept a mahar to be written a multi-volume book of Hanafi fiqh. Wallah al-Musta'an. Anyway, jokes aside, what was I saying? Who was I saying? Bada'i al-Sana'i of Kasani. Yes, so Imam al-Kasani writes in his Bada'i al-Sana'i, he mentions from Abu Hanifa, the reason I say this is I could not find it in Al-Mabsut, which is an earlier book, but Imam al-Kasani, he writes that Abu Hanifa rahimahullah ta'ala considered the salah to be batil, null and void, if somebody held the mushaf. Okay, so the Hanafi school, Imam Abu Hanifa was explicit. If you hold the mushaf, then the salah is batil, null and void. Now, this became the standard position of the Hanafi school. It is what the Hanafis call the mufta bihi, or the fatwa that is given. It is the standard position, and that is why our Hanafi brethren, may Allah bless them and grant them good in this world and the akhirah, generally speaking, in their subcultures, the concept of carrying a mushaf is alien to them. And if you go to the Shafi'i cultures, the Maliki cultures, the Hanbali cultures, it is very common in the nights of Tarawih to find people carrying the mushaf, no problem. That having been said, and I'm not going to interfere within the intricacies of the Hanafi madhab, as I have said, I am more familiar with the Hanbali school. That is the school I typically follow in my personal life. But that having been said, the Hanafi should be aware that the two famous scholars, students of Abu Hanifa, Qadi Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, they are called the Sahibain, or the Sahiban, the two main disciples. The both of them, they disagreed with their teacher and mentor Abu Hanifa on this issue, rahimahullah ta'ala, and they said that if a person were to carry the mushaf, the salah is not batil. But they did say that it is makruh, it should be avoided. But it is not batil. And later ulama, they extracted reasons for this, and they said that there are two reasons that we can find in the Hanafi school. The first of them, there's too much motions or harakah. And as you know, during salah, you should have minimal amount of extra motions. And the second, they said, there is an element of imitation or tashabbuh for other religious rituals. And fair enough, that's their extrapolation. But yani, others might say that if you're carrying an iPhone, and you're just holding it, and you're just, it's not really tashabbuh, it's not really too much haraka per se. Or to get out of the haraka issue, yani I'm just saying, yani think about it. If you were to have a mushaf open on a stand, a very large mushaf, and there's a page here and a page here, and you're not touching anything, and you're simply looking at this page and reading, and then you go into ruku, then you stand up, then you look at this page, then you read. Then between the taslims, after the taslim, you turn the page. I'm just saying, yani, not trying to cause any issues, but yani, if you want to follow the madhab, no problem. That's fine. That is the mufta bihi position. Let me just say, though, that many of my modern Hanafi scholars, friends of our times, quite a number of them, I know for a fact that they say to their congregations that, look, that's the mu'tamad or the standard position, but especially given in our circumstances and whatnot, a number of Hanafi scholars, especially in light of COVID-19 and the lockdown, they're saying, you know what, like, let's follow Imam Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani's position that the salah is you know, sahih, it is valid to do that. But in any case, that is your position, what you want to follow. I'm just telling you that this is one position. The majority of the other scholars have said there is no problem in a normal circumstance. How about now, even more so, you may pick up a mushaf, or in our case, an iPhone or whatever it is, just you know, have the app on and you may read it. It is enough for salah anyway. And in nafil salah, more motions are allowed than a fard salah anyway. It's not anything that, you know, this is the standard. But anyway, if you want to follow a position within your school, then alhamdulillah, I'm not going to ever criticize following a standard madhab if you stick to that madhab consistently. But if you want my humble opinion, then really there is no problem. The point of taraweeh is to read long qira'at Qur'an. That's the goal of taraweeh. And that's why Imam Ahmad and others, they explicitly said, Imam Malik, they explicitly said, long qiyams and short sajdas are better than short qiyams and long sajdas. For taraweeh, we don't necessarily want to make the sajdas long. We want to make the reciting long. And we want to read as much Qur'an as possible. How is that going to happen if you're not a hafidh? Or even if you are and your hifdh is weak and you're not going to leading in them. You know, there's very few people whose hifdh is that strong that they can read, you know, half a juz or a juz. And that's why we admire and respect our hufadh so much that they are able to do this. Otherwise, most average hufadh, they are not able to do that quickly. They're going to take a long time. And that's why this concession is given that you may just read from the mushaf. And suppose you are not a hafidh, then in this case, you may read what you're familiar with. Let's say Juz Amma or Juz Tabarak or whatever. You may read from that, no problem, inshaAllah ta'ala. And with this, inshaAllah, just a final reminder that really the purpose of all of today's Q&A was to get us into the spirit and to remind us of the great necessity, really, of praying the Qiyamul Layl or the Taraweeh during this upcoming month. And to rediscover the original spirit of Qiyamul Layl and Ramadan, like our Prophet ﷺ and like the Sahaba themselves. They didn't pray Taraweeh in his lifetime the way we do. Yes, in Umar al-Khattab's lifetime. But by the way, even then, Umar al-Khattab himself would pray at home. Aisha would pray at home. They would pray at home because they understood praying at home to be better than praying in Jama'ah. Now, in this month, because of COVID-19, we're all praying at home. And because of this, let us, insha'Allah ta'ala, give extra attention, extra energy. Let us rediscover the spirit of Ramadan. Let us rediscover the spirit of Qiyamul Layl. Let us pray, if we can, privately. And if we're praying with our families, no problem. That's also some barakah and good in that. But even if we pray with our families, let's also try to pray towards the end of the night. And let us make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He lifts this communal punishment and adab from us, that He lifts the waba and bala, that He lifts this issue that we are facing now, and that we can resume our lives back to normal, having appreciated all of these blessings that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us.
لا يزال الخير حيا لا يزال إن في الدنيا سلاما وظلال أخبر الأيام أنا في وصال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال قم بنا وانظر لآيات الجمال